Amen. Please be seated. You can follow the sermon in the summary sheet that is included in the bulletin this morning. Jesus says of his disciples, they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. The disciples didn't understand. This was nearly the end of Jesus' ministry and time with the disciples. And there were a number of critical and important things that they have yet to understand. Not least, of course, the issue about Jesus' betrayal and death that was to come in time. The other thing that they were not clear about is what we want to be concerned with this today. And this has to do with this whole issue about servanthood. Servanthood. Jesus was aware of the arguments that were going on amongst the disciples. I guess he had overheard what they were saying. And so Jesus asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road when they were traveling and after they had arrived in Capernaum?" Now, they kept quiet. They didn't say what they were arguing about to Jesus, maybe because they were sure that it's not something that's really what they would like Jesus to know about. But Jesus knew. Jesus heard. And he was aware they were arguing about who was the greatest amongst them. Who amongst them would be the greatest or considered the greatest? And so Jesus took this opportunity to relate this subject of greatness to the subject of servanthood. Now, when we think about greatness, when we think about servanthood, we find that the two really are actually quite contradictory. To be great and a servant, to be servant and great, it's hard to imagine that this could be so. But Jesus was very clear in his mind, and he told them, in chapter 10, verse 43. And he says this, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." So he didn't say that you cannot think about being great. He says, if you want to be great, meaning that it is possible to be great, but then if you want to be great, you have to become a servant. You have to serve one another, serve others. So in the mind of Jesus, greatness and servanthood are not necessarily inconsistent with each other. So we can gather that greatness means servanthood, and servanthood means greatness. Well, what is greatness in servanthood? Servanthood could well mean being the last and the servant of all. All right, as we see in verse 35. Jesus says, if you want to be great, you want to be first, you must be the very last and the servant of all. And in chapter 10, verse 44, he uses the word slave. You have to be a slave of others. So this was the expectation of Jesus concerning servanthood. Now, hearing or knowing what this servanthood is all about, it is difficult, as I've said, to relate servanthood to greatness, mainly because in the world that you and I live in, all right, greatness and servanthood do not go together. When we think about what greatness is in the world, if you want to be great in the world, we have to think about occupying a high social position or to be in a high social standing in the eyes of others. To be great in the world, you have to think about being very wealthy and not only having a lot of money, but you have to be philanthropic so people will honor you and say you're a great guy. To be great in the world, you have to be playing a coveted or prestigious role, whatever that role is, so long as it's a coveted, so long it is prestigious. To be great, you must have power and authority so that people look up to you. People may be afraid of you because of that. To be great, Your influence must be able to command honor and respect. Recently, we have been thinking about the whole issue about the president of Singapore, and the election of that is supposed to come in due time. We know that the criteria for being a president has been changed to become more difficult, more challenging. And that, I suppose, is because we realize that the position of the president of Singapore is a great one, and therefore not everyone can become a president, and we want only the best, so we narrow down the criteria to make sure that we get the right person. So worldly understanding of greatness contradicts the servanthood of Jesus Christ. Well, what does Jesus then mean by greatness of servanthood then? What can we understand to be in the mind of Jesus when he thinks about servanthood and greatness? There are four reasons that I believe we can associate servanthood with greatness. And the first is that Jesus himself taught and lived as a servant. Jesus, being God, took on the nature of a servant. He became one of us. He chose, it was by choice, to be a servant. We are told that by Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. So by becoming one of us, he is actually occupying a very inferior position. But he chose to be one of us and to be a servant amongst us. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, he says that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So clearly, God chose to be man. He chose to be a servant. And to me, for God to choose that and then to serve us must be the greatest act that God could ever do. And he chose it because he wanted to do it. He opted for it. He could have tried other ways. I think being God, he could have chosen another way. But no, he chose to become one of us and to serve us. And so if Jesus chose servanthood, then certainly that must be the greatest calling for our Lord Jesus. And if this is the greatest calling for our Lord Jesus, then it must be the greatest calling for you and I. If we are called to be a servant, to be like Jesus. And this reason, the calling of our Lord Jesus to be a servant, to work amongst us, justifies your calling and my calling to be a servant. We do not need any other reasons except the fact that our Lord Jesus, who is God, chose to be a servant. So in Jesus' example, we see that greatness means servanthood, and servanthood means greatness. The second reason is that servanthood is great, or servanthood is greatness, because it blesses many. It blesses many without the desire of the servant to seek glory, the desire of the servant to seek honor, to seek a name, the desire for wealth or popularity. None of these things concern the servant who follows the pattern of servanthood of Christ. After all, Jesus asked for nothing to be our servant. If he did expect certain things from us, it is this one thing, that he came to serve us and also to share his blessings with us by his death and resurrection. So the blessing of salvation has been offered to us in his time on earth when he came to be our servant. So as a servant, we can say that Jesus meets our greatest need, because our greatest need, whether we realize it or not, whether we accept it or not, is our salvation. Without salvation, there is no hope, there is no future. And so this is what Jesus, the servant, offers to us. So therefore, servanthood in offering this greatest gift to us justifies greatness. If this is what is the result of servanthood, then servanthood is great. But this is a servanthood that is only for those who have been called by God. Not everyone can be such a servant, only those whom God has called. So as a calling, greatness means servanthood, and servanthood means greatness in the call that God gives to us. Thirdly, we celebrated Pentecost Sunday on June the 4th, the first Sunday of this month. And this was a time where we remembered the Holy Spirit being poured upon all flesh. And Peter, in the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, verse 18, quoted from Joel. And the Lord says, "Even on my servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." Even on my servants, the Lord says, I will pour out my spirit in those days, so that his servants will be able to do the things that God wants his people to do. And what does the Holy Spirit do in our lives when he's poured out upon all flesh, upon all the servants of God? He has the sanctifying work that he does in our lives to change us, to transform us, to become more and more like Jesus Christ. He has the empowering work also in our lives to enable us to do what, as servants of our Lord, we are expected to do. And without the Holy Spirit, then servanthood is powerless. Without the Holy Spirit, servanthood will be meaningless, insignificant. Without greatness, without impact, and certainly will not bring about blessings, because servanthood without the Holy Spirit will be very self-centered, self-glorifying, and self-serving. So the Holy Spirit keeps us in check. And with the Holy Spirit, greatness means servanthood, and servanthood means greatness. Fourthly, just a couple of Sundays ago, we also celebrated Trinity Sunday. And Trinity Sunday points to the greatness of servanthood as well, because servanthood involves the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It is God who initiated the plan for servanthood. The idea came from God. And then we see that manifested in Jesus Christ. Jesus then became a servant to us. And he also provides us with the example of servanthood. And the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, sanctifies and empowers to make us servants like Jesus Christ. So the triune God is totally involved in this whole experience of servanthood. And if anything shows the greatness of servanthood, then I would say that it is the involvement of the triune God. If the whole Godhead is involved, then it must be very important. It must be great. So in the God of the Trinity, greatness means servanthood, and servanthood means greatness. So four important reasons why I believe that servanthood, in the understanding that we have that comes from God through Jesus Christ, is truly greatness. Bishop J.C. Ryle, an Anglican bishop in the latter part of the 19th century, an evangelical, he says something very interesting, and I was very captivated by what he says. He says that we are born Pharisees. In other words, we are by nature Pharisaical. We are born Pharisees. In other words, we have this tendency to see ourselves far better than we ought. We assume that we are better than what we really are, in other words. And this is really a subtle sin of pride. And this subtle sin of pride, therefore, hinders us from becoming a servant after the pattern of Jesus Christ in his humility. It's hard to be a servant like Jesus if we continue to harbor this sin of pride. So we have to change our thinking if we want servanthood in our experience to really be great in the sense that Jesus understands. Therefore, true greatness in servanthood comes about only when we see servanthood the way Jesus lived and practiced servanthood. When we see God, see the way we got to see how God sees servanthood. And of course, when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit and sanctified by Him so that we truly become the servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a way to experience servanthood in its greatness as it's meant to be. So yes, you and I can be great. And God wants us to be great by being servants of Jesus Christ. So if you are serving faithfully already, then I can say to you, you are great. You are a very important person in the sight of God. You perhaps may be doing small things, not really that significant perhaps, but if that small thing that you are doing, whatever that may be, if it is directed by Christ for His glory, small things can also glorify our Lord Jesus, then you are great. If you are serving and nobody notices what you are doing, remember that God notices. He knows what you are doing. And He sees you as being great in His sight, even if others do not see. In serving, you may not be commended at all by anyone who may even take you for granted, but God commends you. You can serve even if you are a nobody to anybody, but you are a somebody to God, because in His eyes, you are great. So my encouragement to you is to keep on serving and know that you are doing a great thing in God's eyes. And wait for the day when you appear before the Lord, who will say to you, well done, good and faithful servants. All of us can look forward to that day as we commit ourselves to serving Him in a way that glorifies Him, in a way that blesses others. That is true greatness. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to be Your servants. It is not everyone whom You call to be Your servant. And when You call us to greatness because You have come as our Savior to be our servant. So I pray for each and every one of us, Lord, in whatever capacity in our lives as we serve You, as we seek to be a blessing to one another and to others, that we will indeed, O God, know that this is what pleases You. This is what You call us to be and call us to do. So thank You again, Lord, for this privilege, this honor, this joy of servanthood, because our Lord Jesus Himself has shown to us that this is something worthy and important to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.